Thank you, everyone. What a gift this is, just to be here together. And I thank you for making a decision to come to fellowship on this Memorial Day weekend and join together with us in our service this afternoon. I do want to say before I get started that this is the last choir performance for the season. So we won't have the choir with us again until September. And we want to just express so much appreciation for all of you and for you, Lucille. It's just such a joy. All of your devotion and effort at coming together and practicing, and Lucille just keeps giving us new songs and giving us new songs. Thank you, Lucille. I just wanted to say that because I won't have a chance later. And I'm just looking down at this piece of paper that I brought with me, and it's pretty comical. So we'll see what happens. I entitled the talk today, You Are Abundance, and as always, it's pretty amazing how the songs come together and the reading comes together in just the right way. Divine guidance, divine intervention. Our Fellowship School of Ministry just finished up a term called Abundance Consciousness. And I wanted to share with you some of the powerful things for me that came out of that term of study. My objective as the facilitator going into it was wanting people to go beyond the idea that abundance means how do I get more money and how do I get more stuff. There's nothing wrong with money and stuff. And I don't mean to say that at all. But it's one aspect. It's one avenue. It's one energy channel that demonstrates abundance energy in our lives. For me, I always remember first, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm starting, whatever I'm planning, that we are one with divine love. That endless, boundless flow, that is our truth. That is our natural state. And when we go there, when we spend time maintaining that connection, then we don't have to spend so much time figuring out strategies and reading books and making plans on how we bring more abundance into our lives. Because the full meaning of abundance is within, and we are it. It is who we are. So when we start from there, we start from abundance. When we start from watching videos and reading books and figuring out, am I doing this right or that right, in order to bring what I desire into my life, we're starting from lack. We're starting from an I don't have it place. And the universe, the divine law, says, okay, I'll give you more of that. I'll give you more of the not having it. But when we remember that we are abundance and that We are giving and receiving beings. We are energetic receptors and senders. Then abundance flows. Giving and receiving is this huge circle of joy. The giving and the allowing back in. We hear every Sunday, giving and receiving are one in truth, a teaching from A Course in Miracles. In class, we talked about giving in a way that lifts us up above the human ego kind of giving, where it's a bargain, it's a contract. I'll give you this if you give me that. And if one of us, you know, fails in our responsibility, you know, then what happens? We talked about giving freely our love and our inborn talents, our inborn gifts, sharing, giving without hesitation. Doesn't that just feel good? It feels great. It's such a gift and a blessing to be in that role of the giver. And then we talked a lot about receiving. And we identified some issues that we might have with freely receiving. I know that for many years, I really didn't want to be on the receiving end of gifts and help, because I felt like I needed to be able to do that myself. Why shouldn't I be able to do that myself? And there was something that I was doing wrong or failing with or weak if I couldn't provide it for myself. Whatever it was, emotional support, financial support, physical support, any of it. And then I grew into understanding that I was really keeping the giving experience from others by not being a willing receiver. I shut the giver down a lot of times in mid-sentence. Can I help you? Oh no. I got it covered, thank you though. Very grateful for the offer. But the giving and the receiving and the allowing of both of those in this circle of joy, this circulation of energy, keeps us open for all kinds of good, for spiritual and emotional and physical abundance, for creative ideas, for seeing opportunities when they present themselves. So what interferes with our experience of abundance? Do we experience abundance 24/7 in our human form? Anyone who does, raise their hand. Nobody. I'm taking mine down. We do. We interfere with it. Our ego and our fear interfere with that divine flow. And so then I have to remember the second thing that I always come back to. It's my very own thoughts, my very own beliefs, and my own actions that create my experience of the world. We talk about that a lot here at the fellowship. But we really need to, on a daily basis, practice that. So we start our class on abundance consciousness, and the very first thing that we do is an exercise on letting go of all of our stuff. Not all of our stuff, but the stuff that we don't want anymore. So we're letting go of our stuff. You would think that we would be working on trying to bring more to us, but we did just the opposite. And we read from a book called The Magical Effect of Tidying Up that was written by a Japanese author who spends her life, this is her career, her job is working with people to help them get rid of their stuff and organize their lives. So we started in, and some people had already begun this process, but this was part of our homework every week. And people really took it seriously. I was really happy with that, and came back the next week, reported what they had purged and how they had organized, and most importantly, how they felt about it. How did they feel about that letting go? And how did they feel after they did let go of some of those things that are just stacked in a corner, or, you know, the closets that are stuffed with so many things that we can't open the door sometimes without things falling out on us. It's amazing how much we can accumulate. And I think everyone had a really amazing experience with that. They reported feeling lighter, freer, more mental clarity. And for me, how beautiful is that? It's a physical demonstration that our external world and our internal world are connected. We always talk about what we see out here being a reflection of what's in here. And I believe that's true. So we started fiddling around with what's out here to move that out of the picture to see how that would make us feel in here. And so there is this matrix, this interconnectedness of life that is not linear. If I do this, then this will happen. It just is all connected. And our limited human eyes, our ability to see, oftentimes sees a mess, sees disconnection. But that was quite a demonstration, I think, to everyone in the class, including myself, that lightning feeling. So I was at the bookstore then not too long after, and I passed by this book and noticed the title, Traveling Light, Releasing the Burdens You Were Never Intended to Bear. And I just kind of went, what a great title. I didn't buy the book, but I just thought, what a great message. It was written by Max Lucado. He's more of a traditional religious writer. But how true. And as I was sort of mulling that over, this idea of traveling light in our human world, what I thought of was an experience, many experiences that I had going to retail market several times a year for this little home decor store that I worked part-time for in Grand Ledge. And we would go to market, High Point, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Dallas. And for several years, we took our shoulder bags with us. And we would walk all over these markets. Some of the buildings are 20 stories high, 13 stories high. And we covered every vendor and touched as much as we possibly could on our journey. And we couldn't order from everyone. We couldn't take time to, you know, create an order, or didn't even know if we wanted to. But there were catalogs. And so we put catalogs in our shoulder bag. And as we went, like 8 o'clock in the morning until sometimes 9 o'clock at night, adding to this bag. And then walking back to the hotel. And we were exhausted, just exhausted. And, you know, I remember noticing and saying to my partner that went with me, look at those rolly bags that some people have. You know, they're just those little luggage, pieces of luggage, and they're just like pushing those things around. And she was the owner of the store, and she said, yeah. And we went on our way with our shoulder bags. And it just got to be the, you know, we're the shoulder bag people and they're the rolly bag people. There were some of the same, you know, there were lots of people with shoulder bags and lots of people with rolly bags. Well, as the years went on, as our trips went on, apparently she, you know, was getting a little older too. She was younger than me. And finally, she decided we would get rolly bags. And it was heaven. It was just heaven. And I remember the first day, we both looked at each other at the same time and said, why haven't we done this before? Like, why did we wait so long? You know, and now, standing here in front of all of you, I have to say, why did we? Why did we wait so long? That's a good question. I loved that rolly bag. And we could fit a lot of catalogs in that thing. But I'll have to say, by the time we got back to the hotel each night, even with the rolly bag, we were still exhausted pushing that thing around. It just got heavier and heavier and heavier as the day went on. So I want to think about what we might have in our shoulder bags and in our rolly bags. Everything in those bags was just weighing us down. And all of our energy and attention was diverted away from what we were wanting to do and wanting to experience this amazing experience of, I mean, it's just sights and sounds and people. And when you're tired and distracted with all this weight, you can't really enjoy that. You can't participate in it to its fullest. So I had some thoughts about what I've been keeping in my shoulder bag, my heavy shoulder bag and my rolly bag. I realized this May, it was around Mother's Day, that I have been keeping the passing of my mom in a heavy shoulder bag. I saw people posting pictures of their moms on Facebook this year. My mom passed in 2011, so it's been a good long time. And I thought, I remember a picture that I just loved of my mom. It was just a beautiful picture of her. I could post that too. And so I did, and it got all this, you know, likes and loves and comments, and I thought, oh, that was so much fun. And then I also realized that this is the first time that I've been able to look at a picture of my mom in those years. I have a picture of her at the top of my stair. And when I go up to my bedroom each night, I realize that I would divert my eyes from that picture even. So this year, to be able to enjoy that picture of my mom and to think of her and have her with me in that way, I felt so much lighter, just so much lighter. I felt like I had been carrying this burden of grief to the point of not wanting to look at it, not wanting to see it, not wanting to talk about it. And I realized that, you know, in those years, even if I hadn't consciously done work, time does make a difference. And so this was the year that I was able to do that. But I do really believe that our thoughts, beliefs, and actions create our experience of the world. And I made a conscious choice this year to stop carrying her around in that shoulder bag, you know, that heavy, weighty feeling of loss, and just have her with me in this beautiful, light way, knowing that, you know, she's there for me always. And my experience of what I was keeping in a rolly bag was this belief that I'm a fellowship newbie. And Barb Seiler remembers this little process because it came up at the workshop that we both attended with Maureen Muldoon. I think some of you at Unity experienced her as well. And I made some comment about, you know, I just always feel like a fellowship newbie. And she stopped and she looked at me and she said, well, is that true? And I thought, oh, well, let's take a look at that. And so I realized, you know, May was also my third anniversary of my role as spiritual director here at the fellowship. So there's 3 years. 1 year as steering committee president, where I was pretty much doing the same thing I do as spiritual director, and 3 years in the School of Ministry. And some time before that, when Barb Kinsey was nice enough to introduce me to the fellowship. So there's, you know, seven and a half years of being totally immersed in all things fellowship and in my spiritual growth. So I said, okay, I think I can let that belief go that I'm a fellowship newbie. And, you know, did that make any difference? Because, you know, it was in my easy rolling bag. It wasn't, you know, weighing my shoulder down. But it has made a difference. It's made a difference. I feel more grounded and in balance and more confident about my role as spiritual director, letting that go. So even though we know that we have this heaviness, these heavy things we're dragging along with us in the shoulder bag, And in that sort of dangerous rolly bag where we think things are good, you know, like I put that in a place where I can handle it and manage it. But yeah, by the end of the day, I'm tired. You know, I still am dragging it around. What do we do about these weights that we carry with us? Well, the first thing is don't add more weight. You know, have you ever heard the saying, you know, if you're digging yourself into a hole, what's the first thing you should do? Put down the shovel. Put down the shovel. So now when we notice, we stay alert, we stay aware, and we're curious about what we're saying and thinking and doing, we can see when situations come up and with ourselves, with each other, if someone's not acting the way we would like them to act or saying what we want them to say, are we going to add that to our shoulder bag? Are we going to create a rolly bag out of that and keep dragging it around? Or are we going to respond to that with love? Not create more weight for ourselves. Understanding that this too is for me. All these negative, weighty things that we carry around are for us. They're here in our lives for us to point us in the direction of things that we need to address, things that we need to let go of, things that we need to forgive, people we need to forgive. And then when things come up, like this situation with my mom this Mother's Day, and with I'm a fellowship newbie bubbling up, do we want to just shut the suitcase again? Do we want to just hike the shoulder bag up on our shoulder again? Or do we want to let that go? Take it out. Take a look at it. Is it true? Is it even true, these stories that we tell ourselves? So I want to invite all of you to do two things. Go home this weekend. Look around your homes. Do you have a little place here and there that you could start tidying up? Give it a try. Experiment with it. And then take a look at what you're carrying around in your shoulder bag, in your rolly bag. The most beautiful gift of all is that when we can heal ourselves, when we can heal ourselves of loss and grief and shame and blame and whatever else we're dragging around with us, we not only heal ourselves, but we heal everyone. Everyone. I saw a quote, and I'll end with this. I know we're really late here. When everyone brings what they have, there's enough for everyone. So there's abundance around us everywhere. And if we all show up and remember who we are and live from love, live from who we all benefit. We are all healed. And we all have enough. Thank you.